We'd studied through Colossians a couple of weeks back and finished that up. And our thought originally was in the book of Philemon, but I felt like we needed to go back and study Colossians first. So now this is for me. So backed up and read through that, and it may come together here after a while as to why that was. But if it don't, that's all right too. But if y'all would go to your book of Philemon, it's right after Titus in your Bible. Boy, if you ain't got a good marker, you'll miss it. Yeah. But there's some good things in there. So this is one of the epistles, as noted as a prison epistle from Paul. It's history would tell you that was when he was in Rome, and that he would have written this along with Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and Philemon. So this is one of the four, as they refer to as prison epistles. And a little bit different how it starts out. So if you'll notice in 1 and 1, in chapter 1, the only chapter we get in the first verse, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. We may just stop right there. When you read that, I would have swore I would have read that in another one of his epistles, but it's not there. This is the only one, and the best I can tell, one of the only places that it refers to him as that. And I say that he refers to himself as that. So he says, as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So I wanted to look in some of the other books, and you all feel free to turn over to them if you want, and just read it for yourself. But in Romans, in the book of Romans, he refers to himself as a servant. And 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians, it says that he was called to be an apostle, or Paul an apostle. In Galatians, it says Paul an apostle. Ephesians, Paul an apostle. Philippians, Paul the servant. Colossians, Paul an apostle of Jesus. Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd books, just says Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. And then 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul an apostle. And the book of Titus says Paul a servant. So looking back through maybe what would have been written by Paul, but so just recognize it's a little bit different. So it says a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, if this was all written as one of the four books of a letter for those four, you would have thought that he would have put a prisoner of Jesus Christ through all four of them. But it's almost like it's a revelation maybe, and not necessarily talking about his inability of being able to get out and about, but he's recognized, I believe, that he is a prisoner of Jesus, not because he's in a Roman prison, but because he is doing just exactly what God would have him to do. He feels obligated and he feels constrained to do these things, not out of obligation, but for love of the Lord. So just a note there, and you all maybe search it out and study it out yourself. But anybody got any thoughts on any of that? Don't y'all love when I bring out stuff with no answers? Give you something to...
I wonder what he was saying about the old being a prisoner of Jesus Christ, where he talked about over in Acts when he was talking, Luke was King Agrippa, where he said all that was within the south wall, my voice was as me, except for these bonds. I wonder if that's what he might be saying.
Oh, as far as trying to find it in another place? Right. I got you.
That might be what you're thinking about. That may be.
Because, you would think of him. We know that he was a prisoner multiple times, don't we? And amen. Appreciate that thought. That's a good point. Anybody else? So this phrase was found as that is written nowhere else in the Bible. And again, a prisoner Paul didn't necessarily see himself as a prisoner of the Roman Empire, and again, we may get into that, but in Acts, later on in the book of Acts, it says that he had that he was in bonds, like you'd said, he was in like a house there with hired servants almost that was taking care of him. So to think of him in a in the depths of a prison as he had been before when he was at Rome, it really didn't appear that way according to the book of Acts. But amen, sure was. And that's why this letter is here. We see this letter got out from there. He had people coming to him. He was able to continue his ministry. And although he wasn't able to come himself, but he was able to have people come in and see him and evidently write letters, and they would take letters away from him and go to these places or go to these men. But the book of Philemon, and I'm going to kind of get into this a little bit and maybe somewhat summarize it, and then we'll go through it ourselves. But Philemon had evidently been, it's appeared to have been that he was robbed by this man, Onesimus. Although we can't know that for sure, there is a little bit of deductive reasoning that makes you lean towards that thought, but I don't know that we can actually prove the fact that that was done or that was the fault. But Onesimus was a slave or a bondservant and evidently had fled and maybe still owing a debt. If you were to look in verse 18 there, if he had wronged thee or oweth me or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. So Paul believed that there was something that he owed. He went to Rome, this being this Onesimus, and he had went to Rome and more than likely and became saved and was profitable to Paul. And then Paul sends him back to make things right with Philemon. Paul writes to Philemon as a brother in Christ, not as from an authority of apostle. And we'll want to get into that a little bit more here in just a bit. But also understanding that Philemon was probably maybe on the wealthy side or definitely out of poverty. But he had a house that they used for the church to meet and had hired servants or slaves. So that was just some stuff we'd read about. There's going to be some names that we want to reference back to the book of Colossians as well. And I think that's why I started making that connection from Philemon to Colossians. You see some of the same names there. You'll see a man by the name of Epaphras. You'll see this name Onesimus is listed in there with, I believe it was Tychicus, that both of them were sent. If we were to go back to Colossians 4, 7, and 9, we'd see that. So we'll probably pull that together here in just a bit, Lord willing. Well, let's get into this book of Philemon, and we'll see how it goes. But a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So what does that tell us? Now, that meaning Paul and Timothy knows him to be a brother, is how I'm reading that, a dearly beloved and a fellow laborer. So they have known this man, I believe, Philemon. They have known him as a brother and a fellow laborer, so they've worked together in this Christian way in laboring for the Lord. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So although this letter, this epistle, is written to Philemon, it appears that there's other people involved, doesn't it? It says, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thine house. Now, some people have it to believe, and it doesn't say here, but some people have it to believe that this Apphia is Philemon's wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. We see his name was mentioned as well back in Colossians. We may go back and try to find that. If you go back to the book of Colossians, I think it's towards the...
If he was a fellow soldier, you think he
I think, as in a spiritual battle, I think they're, yeah, I think that they were helping spread the word of Jesus and doing their part in that. Yep, I'd say it is. Yep. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So we discussed that in the end of our study there. It appears that this man very well may be the priest there. He may be the minister there. He could be the one, because it says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So that's where we've come across that name once before. So if you were to relate that to back into Philemon in the second verse there, there's some that believe that that's even possibly the son of Philemon. But again, no, that's world history stuff that I don't think you can prove that biblically. But you do have a man and what we perceive to be the woman, Apphia, and this Archippus, which has been noted as a minister in the book of Colossians. And hey, we don't know that wasn't the son. It doesn't say that, but we know that this letter is written more towards not just Philemon. There's more people involved here. So we got Philemon, we got Apphia, and we got Archippus, and guess what? Then we got to the church in thy house. Is there others that are coming in? Is there more servants, more so than just Onesimus? I think that could be easily said. So those servants would have come, maybe visitors outside of this home. Maybe more Gentiles is coming into this area, but we recognize there's a church there, don't we? Any thoughts on any of that? And in the third verse, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Like what we've studied before, very typical of Paul to start with that salutation, isn't it? He very much says that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, another notable trait from Paul is thanksgiving. Go to the fourth verse. I thank my God, making mention of these always, of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. So he's thankful that he's able to hear of these things. And we talked about Paul being there in Rome and people coming in and going out and maybe bringing messages to him and him writing letters and whatnot. And one other thing to keep in mind, if we were to go back to Colossians again, we may just go ahead and get into that. What was that? 4:7-9. So this was Paul writing this letter to Colossians. In the 4th chapter, 7th verse, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Without knowing for certainty, we know, and we'll see here in just a little bit, we'll see that Paul has sent Onesimus back to Philemon. Onesimus was also sent to the church of Colossae there with a letter along with this man by the name of Tychicus. So Paul evidently was with Onesimus, I believe in Rome. I believe he was sent with Tychicus to Colossae. He was sent to this man by the name of Philemon, and we know there's a church in his house. But he was carrying some of these letters, wasn't he? He was going to Colossae. He was going to Philemon. And he was brought these, and he was traveling with a man by the name of Tychicus. So we see him to be doing some of Paul's work here. So getting back to 1 and 6 in Philemon, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Any thoughts on that part? It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. So in communicating this, whether it be by letter or by mouth, but effectual is producing an effect of the desired or intended, or having adequate power to force to produce the effect. So he's hoping that that this will have an effect that was the desired effect from the Lord, but he's saying that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. So what's he's telling them how to do this, that we need to communicate these things, like the sister did this morning. We need to acknowledge that Jesus is the one that done this, and we need to be thankful for these things. For we have a great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So when we communicate these good things, it says the bowels of them are refreshed. I think that's their inner being. That's that pick-me-up that we need. That's that pick-me-up that I get when I hear about somebody like Brother TJ, four or five different states in the last month. This man's traveling. I'm glad to hear those things, but it ain't just because he's willing to go, but he's doing a good job in it. He's studying. It just tickled me to death to hear him teaching last Sunday about baptism. You go to so many churches and they won't touch it. It's because they're scared of how it's going to be perceived, but he did such a good job of explaining that. I don't think it could have been perceived wrong as having any part in salvation, and that's what we believe. And he done a fine job of explaining that. So seeing a man that strong in the fundamental doctrine of what missionary Baptists believe, that's good. Doesn't that make you feel good? I think it's what Paul's saying here. How was it he worded it? Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. That's how I take that. Anybody else? It says, "For wherefore though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient." Now we'll go ahead and tie the ninth verse to that. "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." So here's how I take this. I'm looking at it as Paul is saying in the eighth, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient," he's saying, hey, I could be real bold becoming as Paul the apostle, and I could tell you how you need to do this and that you ought to do that. But I don't think that's it. What's he telling you in the ninth? "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee." Being such one as Paul, just Paul, not the apostle Paul, just Paul, an aged man, telling you I've learned from my mistakes, and he's coming to him out of love, isn't he? So in the eighth, he could have come and said, "By the power given to me as an apostle through Jesus Christ, this is what you should do. This is biblical." And he'd have been right in saying it. But how did he approach it? He approached it in love, which is Jesus. He brought it in a different path, didn't he? And he brought it in a way that I beseech you that you would understand these things to be biblical, and this is the right way to do it. And I'm coming to you as a man, not as an authoritative figure, but I'm coming to you just as a man that's done wrong in my past, and this is what you need to do. That's how I read this. But he says there in the ninth, you'll see that, "And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." So now we're introduced to Onesimus. And Paul is letting Philemon know that, hey, this is the reason why I'm writing you. This is why I'm beseeching you, as he's putting it. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus." So in the 10th, this uh, Beseech is like for my to be begotten. He's asking them. I'm beseeching you. I would really just ask you to do these things. But then also it says that whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now when he says begotten, that's participle passive of get, procreated or generated. So when he says, whom I have begotten in my bonds, it leads you to believe when you get the definition of begotten that this could very well be in Paul saying that while in my bonds here in Rome, this Onesimus had came to me and now he's a child of God. He's been saved somewhere along the way, and I don't know that it wasn't... We don't know why Onesimus left Philemon. We just know that he left. We don't know at what point him and Paul met up. It could have been in some of Paul's travels before he ever went to Rome. It could have been because he was all over this Asia Minor area of where we know Onesimus was from, because we read there in Colossians that he was from that area, which is Ephesus, Colossae, all of that area in there in the western side of Asia Minor. But at some point, we know that Onesimus was in Rome, and now Paul is saying, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So that's where we get the thought of that he was there, and maybe Paul had something to do, maybe spreading the word, and he got saved there. And then in the 11th, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. So he was saying, this Onesimus guy, Philemon, just letting you know, I know a little bit about what's going on. He's been with me. He's been laboring with us. He's a saved man. And at times past, I know you didn't see him as being profitable. But now, he's not only profitable to me, but he will be to you too. So again, this is Paul asking Philemon to handle this in the right way with this man named Onesimus. In the 12th verse, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. We don't know that he was sent the first time, but for you to say that whom I sent again, has he been there before and Philemon wouldn't forgive him? Has he been there before and the church wouldn't forgive him? Was it Aphia? Was it Archippus? We don't know, but the word is there and we get to deal with it. So Paul sends him again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. As if you receive him as if it were me coming, you receive him as he's got the same inward that I've got. He's got the same salvation that I've got. He's got his spirit bears witness with my spirit, and you receive him just as you'd receive me. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. So, I would have loved to have kept him here, is what Paul's saying. He's been a lot of good to me, but Paul sees it that he is going to be much more of a help to them, Philemon, the church there in his house. But Paul is saying, I'd rather just about kept him here. That's how I'm reading that. And he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel.
Same thing Barnabas done for the Apostle Paul.
Amen. Amen. Sure was.
He was in the same boat one time with those in Jerusalem.
That's right.
They didn't see much good in him, did
they? Amen.
And Barnabas stood up and recommended to them. And now Paul is turning around a man that obviously blamed him.
Yep.
Hadn't been much profit to him, but recommended him.
Amen. Well, I hadn't thought about that. That's good, eh? Always need to remember, we could very well be in the same shoes someday. Anybody else? In the 14th, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. So again, Paul is telling Philemon, don't do this because I'm saying you need to do it. Don't do this because it's not only a necessity, but be willing. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to take this man in and recognize that he'd done wrong in the past. And now the man is presenting himself with this letter, and he's trying to do right. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. So yeah, he left the way it sounds without approval. He left, as Paul puts it, for a season. We don't know how long he was gone. But it could have been as short as a season, which is what, 3 months or so? But Paul's trying to say, hey, yeah, he left for a short period of time, but now that you would receive him forever. So a short period of time doing without him, you're fixing to benefit forever because of this. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? So he's saying, yeah, now that Onesimus is coming back and he's presenting himself, and I'm writing you this letter, but Paul is still in the beseeching, going back to the 10th. This is what he's beseeching of this man by the name of Philemon. And he's saying, when you receive him back, you receive him as a brother. You receive him as something higher than this bond servant. Recognize that he's not who he was. Recognize that he can be a benefit to you in the Lord, in the church, and him just being a bondservant there ain't the maximum of his potential. You need to receive him as higher than that.
Now, John 16, it's got a question mark, like it was asking him a question.
Yep.
Wonder what that means. They just caught my attention.
Yep. It seems that Paul speaks a lot with those question marks. You'll find that in a few of his books there, that I think it's almost a rhetorical question. He's saying, you know, let's just reread it, and we'll try to read it in that question form, but understanding that everyone already knows the answer and how the right way to handle it. But he says, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If I could read that as a question. But he was saying, yeah, you're going to benefit in the flesh. You're going to benefit in the Lord. And he did pose that as a question. But I think he posed that as a question to Philemon to let him understand that. Because the beautiful thing about Paul, we don't see hardly ever, and you brethren, correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to be corrected. Do you see where Paul ever forcibly tells a church, this is exactly what you will do? You don't have any willingness to make your own decisions? He tells them where they've done wrong, and he tells them, and he may help guide them, but he never comes in and just forces them to do something that they don't want to do. And I think he's given this to their own free will, to Philemon's own free will. I'm beseeching you. I want you to, you know, can you not see the benefit that this man's going to be to you? If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, if he owes you anything, put that on my account. And if that ain't a picture of Christ, I don't know what is. And that's how we ought to be. If we know somebody's trying to do right, and they're going back, and you've got the means, and there's a debt to be paid, whether it's in time of helping them stack wood, or if it is money to help them out, that's a wonderful thing about this church. Just like Brother Marty earlier asking to help out Bobby. Now, we know that's the right thing to do. It's a neighbor of Brother Marty's. It's Brother Jeff, Sister Sheila's ex-son-in-law. If you call it ex, he's still, I think Brother Jeff still looks at him as a son-in-law. He's a good man.
Amen.
Things happen in life. But the man needs help. They seen the need for that. As a neighbor, if you can't help your neighbor, and if you can't show your neighbor the love of Jesus Christ as Christians, we've missed the point. We're going to read the 18th again. That's one of them that if you got a highlighter, you ought to put that one down. I like that one. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. I think Paul's kind of showing his hand there a little bit. I think he's saying, hey, Philemon, you might remember a time where I may have helped you out. That's how I'm taking that.
Indebted to him too.
Yeah, amen.
Like when the one that the father forgive his debt, and then the other knowing him a little bit, he
wouldn't
forgive
him. Lord help.
Kind of remind him of that too.
Lord help, that's right, amen. Any other thoughts? In the 20th, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. So who's he talking to here? He's talking to Philemon. And he's saying, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Let me know that you're doing the right thing here. Let me joy in the fact that you can forgive him. Because he's been such a good person. He's been such a good man working for me and working for the Lord, and now I've sent him down your way. But Paul's looking, he's looking for a pick-me-up out of this, ain't he? He's looking to know that this Philemon and the church will do the right thing. It says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. He said, not only am I beseeching you for this, but I know you're going to do the right thing and above and beyond. I think you're going to take care of him just fine. Any thoughts on any of that? But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So Paul, I don't reckon we do find any record that he actually ever left Rome. There's worldly history. If you get to reading it, they'll tell you that he was there in Rome and left and come back sometime later. We can't support that biblically. We know that he went there, and we know that he wrote letters from there, and that was about the end of it for us. So we don't know that he left and came back. But Paul is still he's wanting to come over that way, ain't he? He said, "Y'all pray for me." And I think there's other places that he says that as well. If the Lord will allow. Said, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Jesus in Christ Jesus. We read that name also in the book of Colossians. We read at one point in first chapter of Colossians, 1 and 7 maybe, somewhere in there, it gives that name. Yep, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So we believe he was a minister there, had a man by the name of Epaphras during this letter to Colossians. But now, as we read here in Philemon, it appears that he's my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that he's there with him in Rome? Or does that mean that he's just duty-bound to do as what Paul is doing and standing for God and being a faithful minister? But it gives some more names in the 24th verse. Some more names that we might spell a little bit differently than it is here, but a couple of them are pretty prominent men. Marcus, I believe that to be, as we had studied in the book of Colossians, I believe that to be John Mark, meaning the Gospel of Mark. Right after Matthew, Aristarchus. We read about him back in Colossians. Paul had a lot of good things to say about that man. We might could get back into that in a bit if we have time, but for now, we'll... Demas, don't know a lot about that name, but Lucas, my fellow laborers. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the one that chronicled a lot of Paul's journeys in the book of Acts. That's him. And then in the 25th, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So as we understand maybe a little bit more about this book, Philemon, but again, we don't see as Paul's being forceful. We don't see that Paul come with the authority of, as an apostle, this is what you're going to do, but he merely laid out the facts and said that he knows this to be a saved man and this Onesimus, and that he could be profitable to them, not only to Philemon, but to the church. But the church has to be willing to forgive and take them back. So this is a good letter left here for us as a church to recognize when you've been done wrong. Just keep in mind, we need to be able to give forgiveness for those things. Any thoughts? Any thoughts at all? If not, y'all can consider yourself dismissed.